Okay, we are working through lesson two of chapter one, and we get to question five. Did I get that far? I'm going to have to point somebody in here to tell me where I am.
Let's start on five.
Start on five? Is that what you said? In verse nine, somebody, chapter one, verse nine, somebody read it.
For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased. To pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Okay. How important is it to know God's plan?
Oh. I think it's a matter of life and death.
Life and death. Okay. So for believers now, see how smart you are. For believers now, what's God's plan for your life?
Be conformed.
Grow in grace.
Be conformed to
the image of Christ. Now, I've been, and you probably have been too, where Christians got together and the whole night was spent about, well, what's God's will for your life? And what's God's will for your life? And like they're all different. They're not different. It's the same for every believer to be conformed to the image of His Son. Okay? Now, you okay with that? Nobody's going to argue with me about that? So Paul understands that. And so let's, for just a minute or two, if that's what God's purpose is and His plan for you in your life, how's He going to do it? My question was, how important is it to know God's plan? To know the end, where are we going, is the conformity to the image of Christ. But how does He get from here to there? Well, in this verse, he says, filled with the knowledge of His will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's part of it. How does that work? You tracking with me? You all look like deer in the headlights out there. Paul had heard about their faith and love. He was convinced that they were believers. And there was growth in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus. And they were bearing fruit. All that was going on, right? So, but God's plan to conform you to the image of Christ, how's He do that?
Well, I have a question about this one.
Perfect.
Because I looked this up and it said spiritual modifies both wisdom and understanding.
Uh-huh.
And that I guess that we're studying to have the ability to accumulate and organize principles from Scripture, and then understanding would be that we can apply those principles to our daily life.
I have to tell you,
I'm wrong.
No, you're right. You get the star. You just moved ahead of Francis.
Never.
As we go forward, we're going to amplify everything she said. I think she's right. But if you're going to be, if you say, okay, well, I know what God's plan is. He's going to conform me to the image of Christ. How's He going to do it? It's going to cause you to suffer tremendously?
Possibly.
No.
No.
Through the word.
How?
Through the word.
Through the word. And the word is one of the elements. And how does He use the word? How does He use it?
Through the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit. And so what does He do then?
Grows us up.
Hmm?
Matures us.
But I'm looking for the mechanics.
It says He guides us into all truth.
Steve.
Gives you wisdom and spiritual understanding.
How do you get that?
By knowing the Word.
By knowing the Word.
Applying it to your life.
Oh, that sounds awful legal to me.
Well, the Word would tell you who you are and what you have,
mm-hmm.
so that your faith has an object, not only on Christ, but how you are in relationship to Him.
Okay, you're getting close. You're getting close.
The Lord...
What's that?
Allows us to go through trials.
Which gets you ready.
Gets us ready.
Yeah. But that doesn't do any conforming. All that does is get you ready. my favorite verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Some of you, what's it say? Beholding as in a mirror. And whoever mentioned the word, that's the mirror, right? Mm-hmm. What happens? With unveiled face, I behold what? Objective truth, yeah. But what do I really behold?
Glory of the Lord.
The glory of the Lord. Oh, now we got a it's personal now. It stopped being an intellectual pursuit, and now it got personal.
What verse was that?
2 Corinthians 3:18.
Well, what's the mechanics of that, Mike?
The beholding.
No, what are the mechanics of the beholding?
Oh, how do you do it?
Yeah, how does it change?
Okay. I think it changes as the Spirit of God in this prayer is part of it. When He changes your mind about studying the Bible to accumulate facts, to understanding the reason you're there is to know Christ.
So is that an operation of the Spirit?
Yes. Everybody with me?
So it is all three. It is the Word, the Holy Spirit, and us beholding,
yeah.
Wanting to just be in fellowship instead yeah. of just gaining knowledge.
Yeah. I think there comes a day in every believer's life when, yeah, the information is really important. The Word of God is really important. But the top thing that's of importance is to know this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be able to behold His glory, the sum total of His intrinsic attributes as they're displayed out in the Word by the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, if you take that premise and apply it to these next couple of verses, I think they make a lot more sense than if you take that one, I'll say it negatively. If you didn't understand that that's what the Spirit of God was up to, then this says, save your money and go to seminary. Because you're going to get 4 years of education, in biblical education. Well, biblical education, I don't know of any seminary that even approaches this subject of beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus. Look at the privilege we have. To be able to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, and you have the mirror to do it with. And you have the Spirit of God who will enable it. That's what conforms you. You can be the smartest guy in the room, have the greatest memory in the room, have memorized the Bible from one page one to page last, and not be conformed to the image of Christ. Because beholding Him is the issue in the Word. It's got to get personal. Okay? You all right with that?
Did you say that's 2 Corinthians
3:18.
18, okay, I was
okay. Now,
you know, that's confusing to me.
Why?
I mean, how do I feel like I'm sort of stuck somewhere. Like, I want to really trust mm-hmm. and understand and get to know, mm-hmm. and then I get hung up on this thing of, like, I need to memorize more scripture, and
you're a Baptist.
Tell him what you are.
No, I mean, we all have. we all have that, those little tyrannies in our mind that say, "Well, I ought to be," rather than just beholding. And see, it's the Holy Spirit who's going to do the revealing. Oh, and by the way, He's also going to change your mind and your heart about what you're there to do. I have actually told people and been criticized for this that if they don't understand what beholding is, close your Bible and stick it on the shelf. You know? If all you're interested in is answering the questions and getting a perfect score, that's not why you study your Bible. You're in there to fellowship, to have an intimate personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, enabled by the Holy Spirit. If you go into your Bible with that attitude, I'll be darned, things will change. Because you'll see them. Okay? Some people say, well, gee, I pray all the time and my prayers go to the ceiling and they bounce off and come back. God never says anything to me. Yeah, He does. It's right there.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Just real quick, I'm going to just plug Ashburn did a study on what's God doing in the life of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get that on the website. But, I mean, we're talking about a very interesting and intimate process that the Lord takes us through in order to teach us about our history in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the statement that we're as we behold, we're catching up to our new history in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that process is transformed, conformed, mm-hmm. sanctified. Those are all the words that we talk about in that. And so we're hitting on a really important plan that the Lord has for us. And I thought that course was really eye-opening for me, and touches on the very things that you're talking about. I think if you wanted to dig deeper about this process, that'd be a great place to go. Mm-hmm. It just covers all of those interesting words that the New Testament talks about, mm-hmm. and in reference to God's plan. It's called What's God Doing in the Life of the Believer? And I think there's some 20-odd lessons that tackle this question from all the different angles that Paul does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the other things, and I was trying to get on the internet to get a bite out for the hungry heart. The hungry heart this morning. I don't know.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
You know, and there was something about, you know, and I can't paraphrase it, but it was about knowing Christ versus desiring who we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, we want to be the stellar Christian or the stellar, you know, or to try to copy, but it's to know Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. It's not what, you know, I want to be the best Christian around, and I want to memorize Scripture, and I want to, that's the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's to know Him.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, another verse I was this morning, besides the usual one, 2 Peter 3:18, which is growing the grace and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Another one this morning I was reading, 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied to you, what? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
You know, grace, peace, mm-hmm. knowledge. It's, but everything is in the knowledge of Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking in the Word, your verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18, mm-hmm. and to see who He is. And that's, again, it's as we know Him, mm-hmm. we know us. And that's mm-hmm. that's the cool part of this whole thing.
You know, and that's why all believers, that's the leveler of the playing field, is the fact that the Spirit of God will reveal the person of Christ to a believer who isn't educated and one who is. We're all the same when it comes to that. If I were to say to you, okay, we're all going to go in and spend an hour this afternoon with Vern Peterman, and we're going to try to get to know him, would it matter if you were smarter than me? If we were sitting in a room trying to get to know him? Wouldn't matter at all. Wouldn't matter at all. So the Spirit of God, now think about what God has done. The Spirit of God and the Father have determined that knowing Christ is the paramount thing. They decided that, you didn't. And so we've been given the Spirit so that Christ, who is the express image of God, which we'll get into when Jim gets up to talk, the express image of who God is, so He wants and desires and maneuvers everything to know Christ in the heavenlies. And how do you use the words? When you read the word like filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Well, you could spend hours trying to figure out what that meant intellectually. But if you understand it personally and spiritually, He's talking about knowing Christ. And knowing Christ is not just, okay, I know Him and He's not going to have any effect on me. He's going to have an incredible effect, because why? Why is knowing Christ going to affect me so much?
Changes us.
Huh?
Well, He changes us.
Why?
His image. Why?
Why? Because you have His life. And the idea is to bring forth that life, which is exactly Him, to manifest His glory through you. See? And that's what glorifies God. In John 17, He said, Father, glorify me, and then I've given them my glory. For what reason? That they may be one as we are one. So the Lord Jesus Christ is just as present on the earth today as He ever was when He was walking around here, probably more. Through all of you. Maybe.
I'm going to stop telling people when I tell them about my new church. I said I call it the mini seminary.
Just don't put a T in there. With a C. The cemetery. So what are the two qualities of knowledge that Paul wants for the Colossians? No, no, no.
All spiritual wisdom.
Wisdom and understanding. Okay. So what's wisdom?
The proper application of one's knowledge.
Then what's understanding?
And spiritual understanding has to do with discernment, like knowing right from wrong,
okay,
from evil and so forth.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah. Wisdom is, this is what I'm wanting to learn more.
Okay.
To accumulate and organize principles from Scripture. All right, now what does that mean?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Okay. Accumulate, say that again.
Accumulate and organize principles from Scripture.
Okay.
That's wisdom.
All right, let's talk about, what's a principle? You know what a principle is? Huh?
The way something.
Guys, ready?
Yeah.
Here's a principle. What's the principle? Gravity. What does it tell you? It acts the same way every time. It never varies. It's always the same. Scriptural principles are always the same. They never vary. Never. Okay? So you learn them. What have you learned? You've learned something that never changes. It's always the same. So your understanding denotes, and here's what I put down, your understanding denotes your ability to apply the knowledge, which is usually the definition of wisdom. And what I got for wisdom, it refers to the ability to perform what one knows. It denotes a skill of application. There's a skill. Skill sounds like a selfie word, but it's not. I can learn biblical skills. So, let's try one on. I recognize that, because I heard it in Sunday school, that if I behold the glory of the Lord, that I will be transformed into His very image. What's my role? What's my skill in that equation? The beholding part, right? So I'm not going to behold him by, you know, by watching a Bronco game. But the next time I'm alone with the Lord reading my Bible, if I understand that that's exactly what the Spirit of God is going to do when I open it up and spend some time, I have some skill now that I didn't have before. You see that? Because I know what He's doing. I know that I'm in there, caused by Him to be there. My desire is to know Him, which is caused by Him. And here I am in the Word of God, and now I know what He's doing. I didn't really know before. I thought He was making me a smart Christian. Now I know that He's going to reveal Christ to me. That's skill. That's a skill. That's the ability to apply the knowledge that you have. Okay? You all right with that?
Well, last week you said something about just, I think it was about grace. You know, we were talking about and you said, just take an hour. And then I said, are you talking about meditation?
No.
Well, what were you talking about?
Grace. Actually, you've swerved into the next question. You ready? This will answer it for you.
Okay.
Did they have to aggressively pursue this knowledge in order to live as practical Christians?
No.
You say no. How many say yeah, they did? Who said yes? Come on, chicken, get your hands up. Okay. How many said no? How many are too afraid to answer?
I'm so afraid to raise my hand.
All of the Hemingways. Just wanted to get that on the tape. What's the verse say?
I said he wanted to impress on them that his prayer for them was a big thing, a Christian faith. They might walk worthy of the Lord into all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Okay, he says that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the knowledge is something that they are filled with. Does that sound like an outside somebody doing it to them? Mm-hmm. Does to me. It also, they're to be filled with it and not run after it.
But you have to keep in close fellowship with the Lord in order to do that.
So that's your responsibility?
Well, keeping in close fellowship with the Lord, I suppose, is something.
Well, if I buy your assumption.
If I decide to go out and shovel snow instead of reading or something, mm-hmm. that's a decision I have to make.
Mm-hmm.
But your question, do they have to pursue it?
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, be diligent.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's something we're supposed to do, and mm-hmm. that tells me that you do need to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
You have an obligation to, is that legal?
Right.
He was talking to people who were, who had been taught by these false teachers who mm-hmm. were really trying to get them to go back to the Mosaic.
No, not here. Thing. That's Galatians. Here we're talking about a danger of wisdom and tradition. Okay? Now,
well, it says right here that they've been praying for them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it says, and all over the world they mm-hmm. were bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and since the day you heard it and understood
ooh, wow.
God's grace,
yeah.
the knowledge truth.
How cool is that?
So that's.
No, that's good. That's really good.
So they understood that they didn't have... You try... I don't know, if you're not supposed to try, right?
Well, how did they understand?
Someone taught them.
Yeah, that's right. And
revealed.
What opened up their understanding? Who opened
Spirit.
Up their
understanding?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, the Spirit of God did. Steve?
Well, it seems that some of this modifies that those couple words, walk worthy.
Uh-huh. And we're not that far yet, so.
But it says, fill with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual yeah. understanding, that you may walk worthy.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to read a quote to you from John Darby. Now, he's a little tough to understand sometimes, but. He says, no doubt a more spiritual mind may help me in the discernment of God's will, but God has connected the discovery of the path of his will, his way, with the inward state of soul, and causes us to pass through circumstances, human life here below, to test and to discover to ourselves what that state is and to exercise us therein. If I by your premise, Winnie, it means that the whole responsibility for my spiritual growth is on me. Right? That I'm going to study the Bible rather than go to the movies. That I'm going to make these really good choices all the time, and God is really going to be happy with me because I made good choices. Whose responsibility is it for your spiritual growth? Yours? Is it? Sure it is. So what's your role in it? To let him do it. Let him do it. He will cause you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He'll do that. I mean, if you get honest with yourself, you have to realize that there certainly is a point in your life where I don't care about studying the Bible. I don't care about any of that stuff. I want to go play golf. I want to take the kids to the park.
So the Holy Spirit, you're saying, is the one that... is responsible for our spiritual
growth.
Because
mm-hmm. he's the one that does the conforming, right? Mm-hmm. He's the one that does the illuminating. He's the one that reveals Christ to your heart to the point where you love him. And go.
In the Bible where it says, like clay, he will mold us and make us.
What he does, though, I think this conformity process is one of those things that it's a change of from Adam to Christ. Christ isn't disciplined. Do you understand what I mean by that? He is not disciplined to function and act a certain way. His very nature, always principle, always acts the right way. You and I have the same life. As the Spirit of God conforms us to that life, guess what? You're going to look disciplined. You're going to walk worthy, as we're going to see in a minute. But it's because He has brought this life forward in you that, you know, you took the list off your refrigerator and you just live by beholding Him.
Could you say that believers can stifle their spiritual growth if we're walking in the flesh?
Totally. There's no growth at all in the flesh.
So we have a decision to make to walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit.
Okay.
Whereas if we're unbelievers, they're slaves to the flesh. They're slaves to sin. Mm-hmm. So they're always to walk in the flesh.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. That's right. And so let's say I make a decision. As a young believer, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Let me see you do it. Call me this afternoon and tell me how it's worked out for you. How are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to get my Bible out and I'm going to study. And then, you know, after about 20 minutes, your mind is where? And if you're really a disciplined guy, maybe you're 30 minutes. I mean, I'm serious about this. Because it's like having a human relationship between a husband and a wife. I don't love Donna because she said this is what I'm supposed to do. She's got a hold of my heart. The Lord Jesus has a hold of my heart. I want to spend time with Him because He did it all. He created that intimacy. So I have a desire to not walk in the flesh. But I always ask this. It says in Galatians, walk in the flesh and it's impossible for you to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Or walk in the Spirit and it's impossible for you to fill the desires of the flesh. Okay? Question. When you're walking in the Spirit, what's going on behind your eyeballs? In your mind, what's happening? Focus. What's really going on?
Focused on Him.
The eyes are open.
Okay. Does that mean I'm going to run into the wall if I don't pay attention? What's really happening?
You're focused on Him.
And how did I get focused on Him? Because I decided? I've already got the desire. Read Romans 7. There's a guy that's got more desire than I've ever had. And he couldn't pull it off. But when you get to Romans 8, 2, it says there's a new principle. Oh, back to that word principle. Of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We all have that principle. And that principle doesn't need to be disciplined to seek after Christ. It's part of the nature. If you learn the grace that it's always coming at you, then the discipline part happens because of your beholding. Does that make sense?
Mike.
Yeah.
The other, you know, having gone through the Holy Spirit, you know, the class,
right.
It's real important about, you know, it's His work to convince us and to do this. Going back to the verse, in verse 9, you know, you might be filled, and we're saying whose job that is. The Greek geek, but it's in the passive.
Yes, it is.
And that means... It's being acted upon you.
That's right.
And that really shows that the Spirit is the one who is filling you. Not our effort. It's being acted upon us. And that's real key, that we understand it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that.
And trust me, the Holy Spirit is more interested in your spiritual growth than you ever have been. He's more dedicated.
Constantly, I mean, you know, like...
He's God.
No, but I mean, are there people in here that constantly know that?
Well, there's some.
Constantly.
Did I ask? Should I ask?
Yes.
Does anybody like fit the bill here? I don't see any hands going up.
Okay.
Yeah. Only one wants to go.
here's the issue. It isn't so much of, you know, now that I have a PhD in applied theology, that I'm going to not be interested in the Bronco game. I might be. I certainly might be. I've got the liberty in Christ to do whatever. But my liberty is modified by principles again. What kind of effect is it going to have on you? You know, am I going to cause my brother to stumble? Do I love? That kind of thing. Am I free? Am I at liberty? Yes, I am. You know, the great thing about liberty is what am I free from? I'm free from having to suck it up and do spiritual push-ups. I'm really free from that. What's that?
Free from the law.
That's right. And that little black box back here that's your own personal law, you're free from that too. Because God woos you. He doesn't force you. See that? Okay? No challenges?
Yeah, I finally pulled up the hungry heart. So, you know, some of these things, it was really good. Instead of paraphrasing it, is Christian progress is not a question of attaining to some abstract standard or of pressing through to some far-off goal. It is wholly a question of seeing God's standard in God's Word. You advance spiritually by finding out what you really are in Christ, not by trying to become what you hope to be. The goal you will never reach, however earnestly you may strive, is when you see you are dead to sin that you die to it daily. It is when you see you are risen that you are risen. It is when you see you are a new creation in Him that you progressively grow. Seeing the accomplished fact in the Word determines the pathway to realizing of that fact. The end is reached by seeing, not by desiring or working. The only possibility of spiritual progress lies in our discovering the truth of God, discovering the truth as God sees it. The truth concerning Christ, the truth concerning ourselves in Christ. But it's by seeing, not by desiring and working.
Now, here's the prayer in verse 9. I pray for you and ask, who's he asking? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Isn't that what he's talking about? If you don't have the knowledge and you haven't been filled with it and the understanding, where are you going so fast? Okay. Does that make sense? Does that hungry heart make sense to you? I mean, it's really tough for you guys to have to depend on the Spirit for your spiritual growth because you're such rooty-kazooty Christians. You've got all kinds of energy. Dependency, the most dependent believer is the most spiritual one. He knows. But the great thing about being dependent is that you're dependent on the God of the universe to conform you to the image of Christ, and it's one of those things that, trust me, like I said, he's more interested than you are. That's a great realization to come to. That Christ and the Holy Spirit are more interested in conforming me to the image of Christ than I have ever been. So I might want to just let him get on with it. You know? What do you do with grace when it comes your way? You take it. You know, it's too bad when you have to trust somebody other than yourself. You know? Okay.
Well, so,
yes.
That's true.
But, oh, here comes the butt monkey. Here we go.
And so that, if you have that, you know, for years and years, that fear, you don't want someone taking over your life, then...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. It's the most difficult thing for a growing believer is just to let God run things. Because, I mean, I've worked all these years to make sure I got my act together and, you know, it's hard. And especially if you have fear. That I've worked through this circumstance, this fear I had, and I got a wall built around it now, and I'm comfortable. You know, I got it parked right where I want it. And the Holy Spirit comes along with a big hammer and he goes wham, and he breaks it into 1,000 pieces. And you know what you do? You spend the next few weeks trying to grab all those pieces and build them back up together, and he just wants to free you from them so you can get on with Christ. See? Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that what you just read, that spiritual growth is understanding what you already are? It's
perfect.
Not trying to become something. It's just trying to... You already are it.
That's right.
So it's not you're trying to come or be something. Mm-hmm. It's learning what you already are.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's an excellent way of putting it.
It's a great way of putting it.
Takes you out of the picture.
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely. And so when the Spirit of God gives you spiritual wisdom and understanding about who you are, what do you do with that information?
You believe it.
You just rest and believe it. Right? You know, you use your will to believe, not to implement. And that's a hard thing to come to. It's a really hard thing. Okay. I'm going to try to get done here. How would you define spiritual understanding? Okay, let's make it easy. Does it matter whose opinion things are? Whose opinion matters? Only God's. Your opinion about his opinion doesn't matter either. Do you see that? It's important for us to have the perception. Well, I'll put it this way. In the Old Testament, one of the things that really made God upset with the Jews was what? What was the thing that just drove him crazy? And it would drive me crazy, too. It was that they were not familiar with his ways. What does that tell you? That they were interested in anything other than him. They were interested in the Jewish religion, performing the law, being a really cool Jew. I live in a neighborhood of a bunch of Hasidic Jews. They are all interested in making sure that they look and act perfect. None of them care about God at all. Really. When God says, you know, to you Old Testament Jews, none of you really knew my ways. You know, it'd be like being married to somebody and after 5 years, you don't know what, I don't know her ways. How would she respond to that? Some of you have experienced that. Do you see that? The thing about beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus and knowing him is what? You know his ways. You understand who he is, what he's about, how he thinks, what pleases him and what doesn't please him. How do you ever get away in your life from this laundry list of sins? How do you ever get away from that? Where somebody says, well, here's the list. Don't violate those. The issue is, how do you know, with those of you who are and have been married, how do you know what pleases your spouse and not please them? Because you hang around with them. You live with them. And you find out what pleases them and what doesn't please them. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So you hang around with the Lord Jesus. What do you discover? You discover what pleases him and what doesn't please him. So you avoid it. That's grace. I'm not going there because it wouldn't be of him. It wouldn't, you know. There are things with Donna that I'm not going there. Why? I mean, I don't even have to think twice. I know she's not going to like that. And I don't want to offend her. I don't want to get her upset. I love her. I don't want to do anything that would cause, you know, disharmony. It's the same way with the Lord. I don't want to do anything that's not consistent with who he is. Now, the Bible has to use terms, so they use terms like spiritual understanding. Okay. But it's really an intimate understanding of who Christ is. See? That's why I can have liberty about certain things that's different than yours. You know? How many of you this afternoon at about 4:30 are going to feel guilty when you turn the TV on?
Well, I'm going to be good, and I'm not going to watch it. That makes me nervous.
Hey, Mike. Just to kind of even build on that point, 1 John 5:20, I was looking at that same word, understanding. And, I mean, in the book of Colossians, we have the result of understanding leading to verse 10, which we're getting into,
right.
A walk. And that's an outward appearance, right?
Right.
You see a walk that is in the manner and worthy of the Lord. But when you compare that and build a broader picture of what understanding does, 1 John, I think, is really interesting. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, there's that word, so that, same here in Colossians, but in this case, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So there is the outward result, mm-hmm. but it's because of because he has given us understanding that we actually know him. And so it's a very personal thing. It's not being good mm-hmm. and having that outward appearance. Of course there's the outward appearance. James mm-hmm. talks all about that.
All the time.
But Paul's job was to explain how that walking gets done. And it's this passive being filled with the understanding and spiritual wisdom that leads to a knowledge of him. And as a result, you walk in a manner worthy. Don't worry about the walking. He'll do the walking. You worry about the knowing. And by knowing, it's a restful beholding that we're talking about. It's not this insane pursuit to get this understanding that all of a sudden now I can walk in a manner that's worthy. No, it's about a relationship. And when you know him, he does the walking on your behalf. He does the living. And so it's a very peaceful process here. This isn't an aggressive pursuit. It's a restful, faith-based life. And so just to kind of compare what we get caught up with in terms of I got to walk in a manner worthy. Well, no, it's he does the walking.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting? We'll go there now and try to finish in 5 minutes. A walk that's worthy of what? Of your being a good Baptist? Who's the criteria? Who's the standard? So, if you don't turn on the Bronco game this afternoon, is that something that's worthy of Christ?
No, I was just joking. I'm not. But I don't like
football. Now think about how the words are. That my walk would be worthy of him. Wow, that's a pretty high standard, isn't it? Much higher than I'm capable of, maybe? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But guess what? That's the standard expected. Lewis Berry Chafer said that God calls us to live a life that's totally impossible for us to live, yet he expects us to do it. Boy, doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? How does it happen then? It happens by the manifestation of the life of Christ by the energy of the Spirit through us. Okay? It's him. Who knows it? Now, a couple of verses. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, a walk related to bringing honor to God himself. Ephesians 4:1, emphasis is a walk that's consistent with their position in Christ. Philippians 1:27, in harmony with the doctrine that you believe. You see, Christ is... Christ is the Word of God, the Logos of God, and he is the resurrected, glorified life that we have. And that life expresses itself only from him. It's not us imitating him. That's a hard thing to get through. Now, question 11. What is the way by which believers know God's ways? And when I wrote down, and I'll quickly go through this, in John 17:17-21, Paul said, or the Lord Jesus said when he was praying to the Father, sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth. So we've covered a lot of that this morning. As you descend me into the world, I've sent them into the world. Not for their sakes I sanctify or set myself apart, that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. The truth sets you apart unto him. Okay? Now, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, and here's where you and I get into the picture, but for those also who believe in me through their word. And here's the deal, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. What does this oneness mean? It means that you and I manifest the life of the Lord Jesus in the walk exactly as he would. And you can't do that by imitation. It's impossible. But you can do it by beholding his glory and being conformed to the image of Christ and the Spirit of God manifesting that life through you. You can't do it yourself. And the energy that you expend trying to imitate that life is a waste of time. It's a total waste of time. See? Because you don't, I mean, even if we have a knowledge and spiritual understanding, we don't know all of the nuances of that life yet because we haven't been totally conformed. So what happens? I find myself in a circumstance that requires a walk that's worthy of the Lord right now. I don't have time to think about it. I have to respond Christ-like now. Wait a minute. Give me 5 minutes. No, now. How does that happen? How does that happen?
Faith.
Faith on your part, but it is a rest and trust in the Spirit of God manifesting that life through you. All of us as believers have gone through a time when we used to do something Christian this way, and we came to come to realize that, well, that's kind of self-effort. I wish it would change and it would be of Christ. And then one day we were walking in the will of God and we, gee, how did I get here? But there it is. That's the Spirit of God at work, manifesting the life of Christ. Okay? The walk has to be worthy of Him, not worthy of some standard that you've come up with or Holly Hills has come up with or some seminary has come up with. It has to be worthy of Him, which means it better be Him. Okay.
So where it says we have the mind of Christ.
Yes, we do.
But you'd have it right now and then. You know, at one point, at what point do you feel like that you really have attained that, or really that it would come just, you know?
Yeah, you know.
Spontaneously to you,
yeah,
to do what Christ.
I understand. I don't think you do fully here. I just don't think you do, because the flesh doesn't wake up one day and say, well, they've gotten too spiritual for me, I'm not going to pick on them anymore. You know, there's this strong desires from the flesh, strong desires from the Spirit of God that influence me, and I'm not able to do what I want to do. What do I want to do now? I want to walk worthy of a life that's worthy of the Lord Jesus.
Even where Paul says... Mm-hmm. Paul, who is a major example, even where he says that I don't, you know, those things that I would do, I don't do, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. A man living under law. That's why he said it. He said, what I really want to do, I don't do, because I'm trying to do it. And at the end of that seven, he says, O wretched man that I am, who, not what, shall deliver me.
Is that because of his form of...
Well, it's a couple of things. One, it's a spiritual growth pattern that is not unique to Paul. It's every believer goes through that performance mode. And I think that every believer must come someday to the old wretched man. O wretched man that I am. Mm-hmm. Up until that time, he was asking for systems, programs, laws to be delivered. Finally, he asked the right question. You know what the right question was? Who? Who is the right question? Who will deliver me? It's somebody else. Okay? And then he gets to 8:2, and it's the new principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What's happened? That has already delivered me from the principle of sin and death.
I was raised, and I spent a whole lifetime trying to get over when I was raised. You couldn't ride a horse because you had to wear men's trousers.
Mm-hmm.
You had to wear men's trousers. You couldn't go swimming because you had to wear a bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't cut your hair. You couldn't wear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you get those put in you when you're very young,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you go to church and you judge someone who they cut their hair or something.
Sure.
You know, and it takes a long time, only by the grace of God, to.
That's why it's so important, us as believers, to learn what grace is.
Yeah.
When he prays for spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding, what's he talking about? He's really talking about grace.
Yeah.
Who is it and how does it work? Okay. Let's close. Father, how we thank you for your word and how we thank you for this life that we have in union with your Son is a life that we pray every day that we would grow in, because we already are in it. And as Paul said, we would grow in the wisdom, or Peter said we would grow in the knowledge and grace of your Son, the Lord Jesus, recognizing that we already are in the grace, learning what it is to be there. So, Father, we thank you. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen.